I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Beth Martino, President and CEO of Three Square. September is Hunger Action Month, and Three Square's Stock Our Shelves, or SOS, campaign is currently underway to help food insecure residents of Southern Nevada. Beth, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So for those who don't know the organization, what is Three Square?
Well, Three Square is Southern Nevada's only food bank, and our work is really focused on trying to make sure everyone in our community has access to the nutritious food that they need to thrive and live their life.
So how many local residents are we talking about who are food insecure?
So right now in Southern Nevada, about 377,000 people don't know where their next meal is coming from. So that's about one in six people in our community. One in five of those are children. So there are actually a surprising number of people here in our community that don't know how they're going to put food on the table.
Wow, okay. So how much food is needed each year to feed those people beyond what might be available through government programs and other charities?
So last year, Three Square distributed almost 48 million pounds of food. So that really helps to make a difference in helping those families that we just talked about get access to food at food pantries and other programs. But that's only about halfway to what we would need to do to try to make sure that all those people had access to the food that they need. So right now, unfortunately, things are also getting a little bit more difficult for folks. Costs at the grocery store are going up. Lots of other things have gotten more expensive. And we've seen cuts to some important programs like Medicaid and SNAP. So that just means it's a little harder for people to put food on the table. And they may be having to make some difficult choices about bills to pay or things that they need. And sometimes that means that we have more people who suddenly are food insecure.
Wow. Okay. So what exactly is the Stock Our Shelves campaign?
Well, as we started heading into this summer, one of the things we had seen at Three Square is that more people needed help. Over the last year, we've really seen a small increase in the number of people who needed help. We started to see those numbers rise in the spring, and the people that need help need a little more help than they used to. So we kind of were running into a classic supply and demand problem in that we really had the same amount of food, but we had more people who needed more help. And so our shelves were looking pretty empty as we headed into the summer. Unfortunately, because that need just keeps rising, we're seeing some of those same challenges as we go into the fall and the winter, when we know there will be a lot more people who will need support from local charities. So we launched Stock Our Shelves, try to make sure that Three Square has enough food coming into the food bank to support all the programs that we work with. And right now we work with well over 150 organizations here in the Valley, and we want to make sure that we have food to supply all those folks.
Wow, that's amazing. So is it monetary donations you're looking for from the public or food donations?
Well, it all helps. So September, as you said, it's Hunger Action Month. And one of the things we really try to focus on in September is just drawing attention to the need here in our community. And there are lots of ways for people to get involved. Certainly donating to Three Square, helping us get the financial resources to be able to purchase food, makes a big difference. But doing a food drive, either collecting food at your workplace or with your own organization or yourself, that makes a big difference as well. We also have on our website an option for a virtual food drive, which is another way that people can get involved. And of course, you can always sign up to volunteer. At Three Square, we have volunteer opportunities all week long. And a lot of our partners are also looking for volunteers. So lots of ways for people to get out there and help, whether that's making a donation to Three Square through food or funds, or whether that's finding a way to volunteer and get involved.
Okay, awesome. So how could someone hold a virtual food drive like you mentioned?
Well, you can go to our website at threesquare.org and you can find out about volunteer opportunities. You can find information there about virtual food drives. You can also check out our Stock Our Shelves website at stockourshelves.org, and you can find information there about how to contribute to the Stock Our Shelves campaign. So a lot of different places you can go to find information.
Awesome. And how long is the Stock Our Shelves campaign running?
We're running that campaign through September here, and Hunger Action Month is kind of the culmination of that effort. And then we'll be moving into some of our holiday work and really trying to gear up for that holiday season when we know we expect to see a lot more folks who will need our support.
All right, that's fantastic. Okay, so once again, the websites are threesquare.org. That will tell you more about Three Square, the work that they do in our community. If you would like to sign up to be a volunteer and help out, you can do that there. You can also make a donation. And if you'd like to find out more about the Stock Our Shelves campaign specifically, you can also go to stockourshelves.org. Both websites will let you make donations to the campaign. And once again, the Stock Our Shelves campaign is running through September. So you have another week and a half or so to get involved and help out with all those food insecure local residents who need the help. And we've been speaking today with Beth Martino, President and CEO of Three Square. And Beth, I really appreciate you being here, letting us know more about the organization, the work, why it's so important to do the work that you do in our community, and the major impact that you're making to local residents, as well as letting us know more about the Stock Our Shelves campaign and how it's underway for Hunger Action Month, giving people one more way to help other residents of Southern Nevada. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Heather.
When a student lacks basic needs like food, clothing, and learning materials, attending school can be a challenge.
And that can make it impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue by ensuring that students have everything they need to re-engage in learning,
access to technology and school supplies,
and even emotional support.
By bringing communities of support to students, we're achieving equitable learning conditions.
And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
Learn more at communitiesinschools.org.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Stacey Hine, Director of Professional Programs and Initiatives at Associated Builders and Contractors of Nevada, or ABC Nevada. September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and the construction industry faces one of the most urgent crises. Stacey, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So first of all, what is Associated Builders and Contractors of Nevada?
So we are a statewide construction industry trade association that represents a little over 250 members who are dedicated to free enterprise in construction. So we support Nevada's construction industry by helping them to grow the workforce, promoting safety, and advocating for the industry as a whole. So we have programs like our apprenticeship program and Leadership Institute that help workers build skills and advance their careers.
Okay. How is the construction industry impacted by suicide?
Unfortunately, we are severely impacted by suicide. The current statistics indicate that construction workers are six times more likely to die by suicide than they are to die by an accident on any job site. We are the second highest industry in terms of suicide rate, next only to mining. And so this month is really important for us to highlight the problem taking place within our industry.
Why are construction workers so disproportionately more likely to die by suicide?
Well, there's a few factors that contribute. One of the first is who shows up on the job. Construction tends to be a very masculine industry, and that masculine culture has often discouraged open conversations and forced men to tough it out instead of reaching for help when they need help. There's a lot of job stress, instability, lack of sleep. With work instability, sometimes you have a paycheck, sometimes you don't, and the pressure to do more with less under budget and on a deadline never ceases. So that's definitely a contributing factor. Substance abuse is a huge contributing factor, with 16% of the industry having a substance use disorder. And often substance abuse starts off very innocently with a workplace injury occurring that then turns into an addiction. In construction, it's two times the rate of the general population in terms of substance abuse. Three out of four construction workers are prescribed opioids annually. and the construction industry makes up 25% of all opioid fatalities. And I will tell you, as someone who is in recovery, I've got a little over 10 years from an opioid addiction. No one ever sets out to become addicted or to become an addict. It starts very innocently, and opioids are highly addictive. So we have workers who are in very dangerous job environments on a daily basis, and they get prescribed those painkillers, and next thing you know, they're in the grips of an addiction. And I believe the current statistics are that 90% of all suicides are the result of either depression and or a substance use disorder.
Wow. What can be done about this crisis?
Well, what we're trying to do is bring awareness. So this year, we've started something within our chapter here in Nevada called Mental Health Mondays, where the fourth Monday of every month, we get on Zoom and host trainings addressing suicide prevention, issues surrounding mental health, issues surrounding addiction and recovery. With September being Suicide Prevention Month, we are hosting in-person meetings in both Reno and Las Vegas, where we will have the Office of Suicide Prevention in both regions bring people in to educate our membership about the crisis, why it's happening, and what they can do to help support their employees. The best resources that companies have at this point is 988, which is the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. If there's anyone who is struggling with suicidal thoughts and they call 988, they will get in contact directly with a licensed therapist. I've actually tried calling the number, and it's extremely helpful just to see kind of how they work. Additionally, companies can help address this issue by knowing what their EAP plan is, if they have one, and making sure that their HR teams and internal wellness programs are in place to deal with mental health as well as with physical health.
Yeah, okay. Now, we've been looking at kind of the negative side of the construction industry, but flipping the coin for a second, as a career opportunity, what's the current demand for construction workers in Nevada?
So I'll tell you this, prior to coming to ABC, this December will mark 9 years that I've been with ABC. Prior to coming to ABC, I worked in public education as a teacher and an administrator, and it was at the high school level. And we were all basically taught to prepare kids for college. I had no idea the career opportunities back then that were available in the construction industry. And so you can start off, you know, go through an apprenticeship program, which we offer numerous in both Reno and Las Vegas, get licensed as a journeyman and work your way up to a senior executive or a project manager. The potential within the industry is really limitless, and the salaries are far higher than I ever expected prior to working at ABC.
Wow. Okay. Now, obviously, we look around and we see a lot of construction happening all the time in Las Vegas. What sort of opportunities are there here in Las Vegas specifically?
Oh, right now, I know companies are looking for project managers. They're looking for estimators. They're looking for plumbers. They're looking for electricians. So it runs the full gamut from field workers all the way up to, you know, inner office management.
Wow. Okay. Now, you mentioned apprenticeships a few times. What are your apprenticeship programs like if someone wanted to pursue that?
I don't work directly with our apprenticeship programs. Kara Arenas is the one who oversees those programs. I will tell you this, our students go through 4 years of education where they attend class one night a week. They are employed by one of our member companies, and at the end, they are licensed journeymen in their field with no student loan debt.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's incredible, the work that she's done.
All right. So where can listeners go if they'd like to find out more information about Associated Builders and Contractors of Nevada?
Visit our website, abcnevada.org. And if they have any questions related specifically to professional development or suicide prevention or anything mental health, they could email me directly, and that's shine, SHINE, at abcnevada.org.
Okay, awesome. So once again, the website is abcnevada.org. That stands for Associated Builders and Contractors of Nevada, abcnevada.org. You can find out more about the Associated Builders and Contractors of Nevada programs, their apprenticeship. And if you need help or you'd like to find out more about the mental health services, you can email shine, SHINE, at abcnevada.org. And we've been speaking today with Stacy Hine, Director of Professional Programs and Initiatives at Associated Builders and Contractors of Nevada. And Stacy, I really appreciate you being here and letting us know more about construction opportunities, but more importantly, for Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, letting us know about the crisis in the construction industry and what you're doing to help workers get through that and access mental health services. So I really appreciate your time here today. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for giving air to this topic. It's really an important one. So I appreciate you, Heather.
Every year, more than 240,000 Hispanics attempt to end their own lives in the United States. In 2020 alone, more than 4,500 Hispanic men and women died by suicide in this country, according to the CDC. Among Latino youth, one in six high school students had serious thoughts of suicide. But it's not all bad news. Our culture, rich in family and community connections, can help prevent suicide. The CDC recommends some relief measures, such as reducing access to lethal means among people at risk for suicide and engaging them in shared activities. The good news is that there is help at your fingertips. If you or someone you know needs help now, call or text 988. Find free available resources at wearelatinx.com. This message brought to you by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Dawn Prendes-Morris, founder of Henry's Place Camp and Retreat Center, and widow of the officer it was named after, Sergeant Henry Prendes. The organization's sixth annual Country Jamboree fundraiser is coming up on October 3rd. Dawn, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Heather.
So what is Henry's Place Camp and Retreat Center?
Well, Henry's Place was founded to benefit my late husband and his dream. So like you said, he was a Metro sergeant who made the ultimate sacrifice almost 20 years ago now. And his dream was to give kids growing up in tough circumstances a safe place to find hope and faith. So now 20 years later, we've built that place through the support of generous donors, and we've welcomed hundreds of kids to camp from our communities. And thanks to our supporters, our week-long camp program is free to our campers' families. So we are blessed to be able to bring kids that normally would not have the opportunity to go to camp. It's very expensive these days to have a week-long camp, but because our target is kids, you know, in less fortunate areas or growing up less fortunate, that they can come for free. So they get this opportunity, which has been a blessing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What types of kids specifically are you targeting to come to the camp?
Yeah, we say at risk, and a lot of people don't really know what that means, but our kids are experiencing homelessness. A lot of our kids come through the foster care system. They have a parent that is incarcerated. So they're just kids that, you know, get forgot about. And we really want to, you know, speak into their lives and be able to mentor them, not just for 1 week, but we do reunions with the kids. We have the opportunity to bring kids back to camp for several years in a row. They love that. I mean, after they're there a week and they don't want to go home, they definitely want to come back, you know? So our program is built that way. And it was just part of, you know, our dream to bring kids up in camp, you know, raise them through camp. And we've been able to do that now. We've had 10 years of camp, and our first year was 2016. And we actually had one of our campers from that original camp become a counselor this past summer. So that's just been a blessing, you know, to have them still in our lives and just growing up at camp.
Yeah, full circle. So you mentioned that, Henry made sacrifice on the job. What is his story? What exactly happened?
Well, February 1st of 2006, he was the first on the scene of a domestic violence call. And he thought they had the suspect in custody because there was a man running down the street. The girlfriend was being beat on the lawn out in front of the house. All the neighbors called 911. And it wasn't the first time they'd been called to this house. So Henry had only been back on the streets for 4 months. He had been with Metro almost 15 years. February 26 would have been 15 years. And so he walked into the house, and the suspect was in there waiting for a police officer to come through the door. And Henry was that officer. So he was gunned down. And he was shot, but I don't think he was mortally shot at that time. And then the suspect had an AK-47 and was shooting through the house, everybody in the neighborhood was pinned down, ended up being bullet holes in everybody's houses. And all the police officers on scene were pinned down because they just had handguns. So they weren't able to help Henry. And then the suspect ended up coming out of the house and killing Henry there, and then he was murdered as well at the scene. So it was just a horrible day for people in Las Vegas. I mean, everybody kind of remembers where they were, you know, when they heard the news, because Henry was the first police officer in 18 years killed in the line of duty in Las Vegas. So since then, unfortunately, there's been many more, but it was quite a shock to our community. And then a week later, when we did his funeral service, it was the largest funeral service in Las Vegas. I think it's still to this day. And it was just, we were able to really get his dream out there. And because of that, so many people wanted to support it and come together and lift me up and help me to continue that dream. And that's why we're where we're at today.
Wow, what a
Yeah.
sad story. And yet, you've been able to turn that tragedy into something amazing for so many kids. Why was it Henry's dream to have an organization like this?
Well, the seed was planted when Henry was 17 years old. He was sponsored to go to a camp with him and a couple of his buddies. And so he, you know, being the jock he is, they thought they were going to meet girls and have a great time. Well, he had a great time, but he met Jesus at camp. And when he came back to Vegas to his home, he was just on fire for the Lord. He was preaching the gospel to everyone. He was witnessing to everyone. And he just could feel the change that having Jesus in your life made and the impact it had on his life. So he just wanted to do the same for other kids. And we did that. We sponsored kids to go to camp throughout, you know, our time together. And we would have a car full of kids to go into church every Sunday. So it was just something that he really wanted to do. And actually, we had land in escrow when he died. And I was able to get out of that contract because it was too far away and I wasn't going to go there by myself. So I ended up finding another piece of land in Cedar City, Utah, where our camp is located. And we're able to bus the kids up there. So it's just a great location for Las Vegas families to benefit from.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So tell us about the 6th annual Country Jamboree fundraiser that you have coming up.
Yeah, so our Jamboree is on Friday, October 3rd at the South Point Casino in their ballroom. And doors open at 5:30. And because of a generous donor, we have a hosted cocktail hour from 6 to 7. And one of the exciting things about our event this year is that we have some great entertainment. We have Grammy-nominated artist Clint Holmes. and his beautiful wife, Kelly Clinton, who's an entertainment icon of her own right, along with their talented band. So they're going to be entertaining us throughout the evening. And then we also have emceeing our event is Brian Chan. He's another local celebrity, and he's known as The Voice. So I'm telling everybody, you got to come and find out why. And then, so in addition to the entertainment, we will have the cocktail hour, like I mentioned. We have dinner. We have auctions and raffles. We have a short program that will tell our story. And then we have campers and their families there to talk about their experiences at camp. And that's always the highlight of the night to me, is just to see these kids and how they just love Henry's Place and just love coming and experiencing camp and all the fun things they get to do. So, yeah. And so we'll be wrapping up like at 9:30, and it'll be, just a really fun night to celebrate 10 years of camp and 10 years of changing lives.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Sounds like a great time.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the auction items?
Well, we have a game hockey stick from Braden McNabb. He signed a hockey stick, so it's one that he played. Everybody loves VGK in Vegas, so we got that. We have a signed guitar by Ed Sheeran. We have a pinball machine that everybody's going to get to play while they're there, which will be fun. It's at my house right now, and my husband's like, I want this. And I'm like, you're not going to be able to afford it, I hope. So that'll be fun. Just, experiences, trips. Like, we like to do staycations, shows. We have out-of-town trips and stuff. So jewelry, purses, just everything you can imagine. We got it covered. And so price range from low to high. So just something for everyone. We are so blessed to have all of our auction items donated from generous people in our communities. So that's great. So all the money goes directly to camp and helping support our campers.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does your organization have volunteer opportunities where you're looking for people to help out?
Oh, yeah. We have volunteers all throughout the year. We have volunteers that are helping us with the event right now. We have volunteers at the event. We have volunteers that work a couple days during camp, or they can work a whole week. And yeah, we're definitely heavily volunteer based, as well as prayer warriors. If you want to be on our prayer team, we have that. That's a great opportunity to volunteer. And all that can be found out through our website, henrysplace.org. You can go there and connect with us.
All right. And also, when they're at henrysplace.org, obviously they can find out more about Henry's Place Camp and Retreat Center. How do they get tickets to the 6th annual Country Jamboree fundraiser?
Yeah, at henrysplace.org, under events, we have our fundraiser. And on that page, you can buy a table for eight, a table for four, tickets, individual ticket sales. All that's on our website. You can sponsor. We have different sponsorship levels. You can also donate an auction item by just reaching out to us through our contact if you'd like to get involved that way. Everybody has charities that they love to support, and we just, are looking for supporters that really understand the impact that camp can have on a life. And we just would love for you to help support us in that way.
Yeah. All right. So once again, the website is henrysplace.org, henrysplace.org. You can find out all about Henry's Place Camp and Retreat Center. You can sign up to be a volunteer if you'd like to. And if you want to get tickets to the 6th annual Country Jamboree fundraiser, that's there as well at henrysplace.org. And once again, that's happening on Friday, October 3rd from 6 to 9:30 p.m. with doors at 5:30. It's all happening at South Point Hotel. And you can get all the details there at henrysplace.org. And we've been speaking today with Dawn Prendes-Morris, founder of Henry's Place Camp and Retreat Center and widow of Sergeant Henry Prendes, who it was named after. And Dawn, I really appreciate you being here, not only letting us know about this amazing organization and the work you're doing, giving these kids a chance to go to camp, but also sharing Henry's story, such a tragedy and such an amazing organization that came out of it. And the 6th annual Country Jamboree fundraiser sounds like an amazing time. You've got top-notch talent and some great auction items. So I hope a lot of people go out. Thank you so much for your time today.
I just want to say thank you, Heather. And this none of this would be possible without the faithful support of our community. What began as Henry's dream 20 years ago is now a living legacy that continues to grow. You know, every child who comes to camp leaves with new hope, new friendships, and the knowledge that they are deeply loved. And we can't do this without the support of our community. So thank you so much, and thank you for your time.
You know the national parks, but you may not know that they're supported by a strong foundation. A foundation for the future. We are the National Park Foundation. And together with your support, we are building a bold future where national parks are vibrant, protected, and welcoming. Today, tomorrow, forever. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Roger A. Krohn, President and CEO of Scouting America. As families settle into new school year routines and parents look for ways to help kids learn and grow outside the classroom, Scouting America is spotlighting the Cub Scouts program. Roger, thank you so much for being here today.
Heather, it's great to be here, and thanks for giving me the time.
So first of all, for listeners who aren't quite sure, what is Scouting America?
Well, we're the 115-year-old organization that used to go by the name Boy Scouts of America. We welcomed girls into all of our programs. By the way, we had girls in some programs all the way back to the 60s, but we now have over 200,000 girls in our program. And so we just dropped the gender ID and went from Boy Scouts of America to Scouting America.
And besides that change, how has Scouting America programming evolved over the years?
Oh, we're constantly evolving the program to make sure it's relevant to kids and parents and the world that we live in today. So there's a lot more, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math in our programs. We have a artificial intelligence merit badge, but we've also redesigned the program so it's easier to deliver. There's less prep by our volunteers. And we've designed the program so you can really enter at any level. We start in kindergarten, we go all the way through high school. We have some programs for college-age kids. And you can join Scouting really at any point in your youth experience.
Wow, okay. And how does Cub Scouts specifically differ from your other programs?
Well, a Cub Scouts is, you know, think about that as our elementary school program. It is less high adventure, less climbing a mountain or go cave exploring. It is a lot more group outdoor activities, a little bit more involvement with a parent, mom and me, dad and lad. Although we do have camping and overnighting in Cubs, a lot of our activities will be afternoon based, after school, or like a Saturday program. We have at our camps areas we call Cub World, which might be a fort or a castle. And the concept there is you come out Saturday morning, but you're back home by Saturday night.
Okay, so what's the age range for Cub Scouts?
5 to 11.
Okay, so keeping all of that in mind, what kinds of life skills do kids gain from being in Cub Scouts that they might not get in school or other activities that they're doing?
Well, you know, the schools and the classroom are great about, you know, learning about, you know, math and reading and but what Cubs does is gets kids together with kids in a outdoor environment, typically doing a team skill. So we're building social interaction, empathy, respect for others, you know, how to work together to achieve a goal, you know. Many of those things that as a parent, and I'm now a grandparent, I want to see evolve in my children and my grandchildren. And that's really our priority, to build, you know, character and leadership and citizenship and how to get along and work together, as opposed to learning like math, right? So although we tend to be, you know, we're sort of in this outdoor classroom, but the lessons that we teach are much more about life skills and being prepared for life, as opposed to, you know, how to tie a knot or how to, you know, paddle a canoe or something like that.
Right. Okay. So you mentioned that the Cub Scouts do less adventure stuff, less extreme things like climbing, but they are in that outdoor classroom that you referenced. What does that look like exactly for a Cub Scout? What are they doing in that outdoor environment?
They will learn about nature. They will build projects. They will learn outdoor skills. You know, they might pitch a tent. They might do a little bit of cooking. They might build a fire. We do a lot of hikes and walks. We do have a great aquatics program, so we'll get them in a pool. We can get them in a lake. We have fishing, which is really, really popular with cubs. And you know, I think most of us caught our first fish in cubs. We have a BB-based shooting program. We have archery. Just fun stuff that keeps the kid excited about being involved while, right, sort of underneath the surface, we're working on these life skills. We're presenting them with a problem. They learn problem solving. They learn to work together. They learn to get along together, which we think is just really, really important today. They learn to respect differences, that we're not all the same. But we do that with a project, kind of a mentality. We call it the patrol method, where we present them with a challenge and they have to problem solve and they have to work together. And I think, you know, in today's age, we all need to learn to do more of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, families are really busy these days, especially with the school year recently getting underway. So how does the program scheduling work for families who are trying to balance the school, the sports, and all those other activities?
Yeah, well, first, you know, I was a Cub Scout, Boy Scout. I went all the way through the program in the 60s and the 70s. And you know, we're pretty busy then, too. Scouting is a great program as a number one, a number two, or a number three. From a priority standpoint, I was a student athlete, and our units and our program are really, really flexible. And you don't have to make every meeting. You don't have to be on every outing. And I was a runner in my time, and our meets tend to be on Saturday morning. And so my scoutmaster was flexible enough to say, come out after the meet, right? So accommodate those things that are important. But scouting fits into that. And we have actually designed our program, and we have just redesigned the Cub program to make it even more flexible. And we have a national spokesman who's an NFL running back, a fellow named David Montgomery, who was an Eagle Scout, but football was his number one priority. But he found the time to go all the way through the scouting program, and you know, was a star running back in college and is now the star running back for the Detroit Lions. And he's just evidence that you can do more than one thing. By the way, the kids today are really great at multitasking. And I would submit having kids do more than one thing allows them to build those multitasking prioritization skills that will be important later on.
Yeah, fantastic. And what's an Eagle Scout as compared to a Cub Scout?
Yeah, so Eagle Scout is the top rank in our high school program called Scouts BSA. So Cub Scouts is, think about it, elementary school, and then Scouts BSA, middle school and high school. And then part of our program is designed around some advancement. So we want the kids to think about achievement, advancing, and in our Scouts BSA program, you earn merit badges, these little round patches that we wear on a sash. We have 140 merit badges that are really vocational. They allow kids to explore all kinds of really interesting subjects, from camping, frankly, to artificial intelligence and digital design. And to be an Eagle, you need to have 21 of these merit badges, and you need to complete a service project. And Eagle has been sort of our premier brand for the last 115 years, and just some fantastic leaders in our country who achieved the rank of Eagle. David Montgomery, who's the running back I mentioned, but Michael Bloomberg, Steven Spielberg, Neil Armstrong, the first person to walk on the moon, was also an Eagle Scout.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, so where can our listeners go for more information about Scouting America and your various scouting programs, including Cub Scouts?
Yeah, great. Well, we're all over the United States. We actually have units for families of military and foreign service in Europe and in the Far East. But the easiest thing to do is to go to beascout.org on the web, and lots of information there. By the way, this year we built an AI chatbot called Scoutly, who you will meet if you go to the website, and Scoutly will take a parent or a child through what the options are for programs, how to join. You can ask it a question, and it will research it through our database and give parents the information they need to make an informed decision.
Wow, that's great. Okay, so once again, the website is beascout.org. That's where you can find out more about Scouting America and let Scoutly, the little AI chatbot, walk you through the options and find a scouting outlet near you that works for you and your family. Beascout.org. And we've been speaking today with Roger A. Krohn, President and CEO of Scouting America. And Roger, I really appreciate you being here. I mean, the organization's been around for so long, as you pointed out, and amazing programming, but it's still great. You know, a lot of people maybe forgot about it, or they just don't realize how applicable it is to modern day learning and development. So I really appreciate you sharing about Cub Scouts and the other scouting programs and Scouting America in general. So thank you so much for your time today.
Great, Heather. Thank you. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak to your audience.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Dr. Kate Jordan, pediatric ophthalmologist and associate professor of ophthalmology at The Ohio State University. The All Children See program from the Children's Eye Foundation ensures that all kids can get important eye exams. Dr. Jordan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So why are regular vision screenings so important for kids?
It's so helpful for kids to have regular vision screenings at an early age to catch vision problems so that can be evaluated and fixed before they get worse. A lot of times children don't realize that they have vision issues because they assume that they can see just like everybody else can. They think that that's how everyone else sees. Or if they have a lazy eye in one eye, their vision is good in one eye, but not good in the other eye, but they just use their good eye and they don't care about their lazy eye.
Okay. So if they think that they're seeing like everybody else, how do we know if a child might be having vision issues?
Yeah. So a lot of kids will squint when they're looking far away. They may not be passing their reading levels at school, their grade levels at school for reading. They may be holding their books or their tablets close or getting close to the TV. Children that have eye muscle problems, so if their eyes are crossing or if they're drifting, they oftentimes will squint an eye when they go outside. They'll close an eye or cover an eye when they're reading to avoid that kind of strain or the double vision that they might see if they have a lazy eye.
Now, obviously, there's different types of vision screenings. There's the basic ones that they might get at school, and then there's the more comprehensive eye exam. What types of vision screenings should a child be getting?
That's a great question. So vision screenings generally just detect if there's a potential problem. So they'll use photo screeners, and this can be done at the school or at the primary care provider or at health fairs. And this potentially shows maybe a need for glasses, but it's not really sure. It shows a potential for eye misalignment. So if there's a flag, if the patient gets flagged on that vision screen for a possible problem, they'll get referred for a more comprehensive vision exam. Now, comprehensive vision exam is a very thorough exam. It evaluates the eye muscle alignment. It evaluates a need for glasses. It evaluates any potential for lazy eye or eye health problems. So it's a very extensive exam, but vision screenings are very helpful because they detect problems early on. And children's eyes actually grow as they age. So yearly vision screenings or exams are important to do because kids can grow into needing glasses.
Yeah, definitely. And what's the best time of year for a child to get an eye exam?
The beginning of the year, school year is a perfect time to get it done. That way, if they have to be referred for a more extensive, comprehensive eye exam, that can be done early in the year and they can be treated and have good success for the rest of their school year.
Awesome. Okay. So tell us more about the All Children's See program and why it was created.
The Children's Eye Foundation of APOS launched All Children See in 2020. It's the first direct patient care program. The program connects United States families with a pediatric ophthalmologist who will provide a no-cost eye care to children without insurance or access to vision care. The program actually operates in over 30 states and in Washington, D.C. We are incredibly grateful. We had a wonderful donation from the Knights Templar Eye Foundation of $2 million to get the program started. So it's a wonderful program for children that do not have insurance or access to vision care.
Nice. Okay. So where can listeners go for more information and to see if their child qualifies for All Children See?
To see if they qualify for All Children See, they can just go to allchildrensee, that's SEE.org, and that will be the way they can find out more information about the program itself. They can also go to Children's Eye Foundation, which is our foundation website, childrenseyefoundation.org, to find out more information just about eye health in general and to find a pediatric ophthalmologist in their area. You can go to aapos.org.
Okay, awesome. So if you'd like to find out more about the All Children See program, once again, that website is allchildrensee.org, allchildrensee.org. If you'd like to find out more about childhood eye health, go to childrenseyefoundation.org. And if you'd like to find an ophthalmologist near you, you can go to aapos.org. That's the American Association for Pediatric Ophthalmology and Strabismus, aapos.org. And we've been speaking today with Dr. Kate Jordan, pediatric ophthalmologist and associate professor of ophthalmology at The Ohio State University. And Dr. Jordan, I really appreciate you being here, highlighting the importance of eye screenings and eye exams for our kids, why it's important to do it at the start of the school year so that they can take care of any problems before they have to deal with them all year, and how to find an ophthalmologist near us, as well as letting us know more about the All Children's See program. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Every child deserves good vision to be able to read, learn, or kick a ball. Each day a child can't see, they fall behind. Together we can change that. Eye care for kids is the solution. In the past 21 years, we've helped over 500,000 underserved children with vision screenings, exams, and eyeglasses. Your contribution today can provide the gift of sight for a child tomorrow in Las Vegas. Donate now at eyecare4kids.org.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Leanne Bloden, Vice President of Clinical Development at Esperion Therapeutics. September is National Cholesterol Education Month, and the lipid lurkers are helping spread awareness. Leanne, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So what exactly are the lipid lurkers?
So the lipid lurkers are tiny animated cartoon characters to help us understand more about the dangers of high LDL cholesterol and risk of heart disease. It's an educational campaign that is meant to empower the nearly 100 million U.S. adults that have high cholesterol so that they have resources to learn about the high risks and understand the medications that are available if you need treatment.
Okay, so what exactly is LDL cholesterol?
So first, cholesterol is a lipid or type of fat in the body, and we actually need cholesterol to perform a lot of different functions. However, when you have levels that are too high, it really increases the risk of having heart disease. And LDL cholesterol is often known as the bad cholesterol because it's the type of cholesterol that circulates in the blood after the body takes what it needs. And so it can start depositing in the walls of arteries, which really limits the blood flow and can increase the risk of having a heart attack or stroke.
Who's most at risk of high cholesterol?
Yeah. So first of all, you need to know your numbers. So we need to make sure that we're getting our cholesterol measured. And people who may be more susceptible are those that have a family history of high cholesterol, or maybe a family member has had a heart attack or a stroke, or you have risk factors such as high blood pressure or diabetes or overweight, although anyone can have high cholesterol.
Okay. Besides measuring it, what are some signs that would let us know we might have high cholesterol?
Yeah, it's actually a great question. The problem is it's a silent threat in our bodies. So we actually don't feel when we have high cholesterol. So therefore, it's really important to get it measured and talk with your doctor about your numbers.
Okay, so what does high LDL cholesterol really do to our body if it's so silent?
Yeah, so if levels are too high, then they can build up in the arteries and the wall of the arteries. And so this limits the blood flow. Now, in the walls of the arteries and in the blood, it can start like attaching to other substances such as calcium or red blood cells that can actually form a clot or a plaque. And if that breaks off, it can actually occlude or block the blood vessel, and it can cause a heart attack or stroke. So it's really important to get educated and to know your numbers. And we actually have a website, statinalternatives.info, that provides more information to patients where you can learn about the risks of high cholesterol. And if you can't take the treatment, the class of medications known as statins, on this website, it will talk about alternatives for patients with statin intolerance.
And then beyond medication, what are some tips for managing our cholesterol through lifestyle changes?
Yeah, so lifestyle is wonderful in so many ways, right? It reduces the risk factors for heart disease, can help with high blood pressure, can help with diabetes, and also cholesterol. But because the cholesterol in our blood is about 20% impacted by diet, if you have high cholesterol, it's really important to talk to your doctor, because many patients do need to take medications to actually lower their cholesterol. And there are a number of different types of medications. So again, it's important to talk to your physician what's right for you.
Okay. So you did mention the website, statinalternatives.info. What else can people find out at that website?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So at that website, there'll be the Lipid Lurkers campaign. So again, you see this real visual of what high LDL cholesterol is doing in your body. And, you know, again, the mainstream treatment for patients at first is statins. But for patients who can't take statins, we call it statin intolerance. And sometimes those side effects are muscle related, muscle achiness or pain. There are other alternatives. There are medicines that do lower cholesterol and can reduce the risk of having a heart attack or, you know, some of those procedures we don't want to have to open up the blood vessels like stents or even bypass surgery. And so that website, statinalternatives.info, offers a lot of great information about alternatives to speak with your doctor and see what's right for you.
All right, fantastic. So once again, the website is statinalternatives.info. Statin is spelled S-T-A-T-I-N, statinalternatives.info. You can find out more about treatment options for high LDL cholesterol and check out the Lipid Lurkers campaign with the cute little animated creatures. And we've been speaking today with Leanne Bloden, Vice President of Clinical Development at Esperion Therapeutics. And Leanne, I really appreciate you being here for National Cholesterol Education Month, letting the listeners know more about high cholesterol and high LDL cholesterol specifically, as well as the Lipid Lurkers who make this education fun. So thank you so much for your time today.
Yes, thank you, Heather.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include this Monday, September 22nd at 8 p.m. benefiting Kinsella Angels, and Monday, October 6th at 8 p.m. benefiting Henderson Equality Center. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. The Children's Heart Foundation's 7th Annual Hearts for Charity fundraiser is happening next Thursday, September 25th from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the Four Seasons Hotel Las Vegas. Get tickets or find out more at chfn.org. That stands for Children's Heart Foundation Nevada, chfn.org. Three Squares Stock Our Shelves campaign for Hunger Action Month to support food insecure residents of Southern Nevada is running through September 30th. Volunteer, donate, or find out more at threesquare.org. That's threesquare.org. Henry's Place Camp and Retreat Center is holding its 6th annual Country Jamboree fundraiser on Friday, October 3rd, with doors at 5:30, cocktail hour at 6 p.m., and dinner at 7 at South Point Hotel and Casino. Enjoy special performances by Clint Holmes and Kelly Clinton, a live and silent auction, and the chance to raise money for at-risk youth. Get your tickets or find out more at henrysplace.org. That's henrysplace.org. And the All Life Pregnancy Clinic is holding their 40th anniversary Race for Life 5K run and 1 mile walk on Saturday, October 11th from 7:30 to 10 a.m. at Cornerstone Park, 1600 Wigwam Parkway in Henderson. Get all the details and sign up to race or walk at alllife.org. That's A-L-L-Y-F-E, alllife.org.